Tim Sturt, Balsam Range, is my guest. They have a brand new album, Moxie and Metal, and it's just wonderful, as is, I think, probably everything they've done. I really enjoy the sound. I enjoy the band. I enjoy the people in the band. You'll find out why in just a little bit, and we'll get right into a conversation with my guest, Tim Sturt. Thanks so much for listening to Unreal Bluegrass.
I'm always happy when a brand new album from Balsam Range comes in the mail. So I have on the phone, we're going to have as a guest today, Tim Sturt is going to tell us all about the brand new Moxie and Metal. Tim, how have you been, my friend?
I'm doing well, Steve. It's good to talk to you, man.
It is.
A long time, and, you know, it's good that we're back out playing again, and but catch up, a new record coming out. It's really exciting, and it feels quasi-normal.
Yeah, I hope it stays that way. I hope everything just turns out, you know?
It's we're just coming off two big traveling weeks of big festivals, and you know it was really good to get back out there and these new songs and all that. It does feel as normal as normal can be these days.
There are some great. Well, I'm glad, and there are so many great as always. There's 12 cuts on this Moxie and Metal, which is on Mountain Home, and you guys always pick a nice selection of tunes. There's one thing that intrigues me. I want to ask you about in a little bit. But okay. We just played Highway Side, which I think is doing really well for the band off of this album, even though the album just dropped. You've been releasing singles. But I love the choices that the band makes. And go ahead. Highway Side is just the perfect.
Well, I love that song. And I've been really looking forward. You know, we recorded the album, bits and pieces, as we are wont to do, because we're blessed. We all live in 30 minutes of a Mountain Home, great studio there at Crossroads Music that I've been a part of since 1983.
I was going to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we can go at our leisure, and it was weird. You know, we cut the whole thing during the pandemic, and we'd go in and cut 2, 3, 4 songs at a whack, you know, and go back, you know, a month later and do some more, or 2 months later. And we're like, oh, we're putting the album together. We're like, oh, yeah. That's a good one. I forgot about that one, you know. Highway Side to me is, I've been really looking forward to it coming out. I thought number one, it's a great song. The lyrics and the complex little story it tells. But the guys just sing the hide off of it. I love that, you know. And that's the fun part for me, where I guess we're known for having, you know, multiple singers in the band. But when they when the trio gets to rolling like that, it's super fun, fun just to listen to, you know.
Oh, when they kick in and there's another tune, I'm not done talking about Highway Side yet. I'm talking to Tim Sturt, but Traveling Blues, I mean, that's where you guys just really slide into that Balsam Range.
That Traveling Blues, and we'll play it if you want. I'm fine. There's so many good songs on the record. I don't want any of them to get
I'll mix
short chains, but Traveling Blues, we always, I don't know why, but we fall back onto what we, I don't know, it's every album kind of gets one of these, we'll just call the Eagles song, you know? And one thing that I always loved about the Eagles, they were always, you know, one of my all-time favorite bands, you know, top two probably, as far as, you know, rock and roll or popular music goes. And they were just oohing and stuff all the time behind the, behind the melody of the vocal, the lead vocal and stuff. And because they had an abundance of singers, you know.
There was always, blessed. Yeah, there was always like this vocal bed underneath everything.
Yeah, and I love that. And we sometimes we work it out and do it live, and that's really fun to do. Sometimes I'll just go in the studio and do them all myself.
Oh, really?
It's become a big joke. I call it the OK Corral. And I do it on other people's records sometimes too, because and it's one of those things that if you notice it, it's almost too much, you know.
I'm glad you noticed that.
That means a lot that you're able to. That Traveling Blues, that's the one on that one, man. What a beautiful song.
It's absolutely beautiful. And Highway Side, and I like the choices. You have some great songwriters on here. Some of my favorite people contribute. Tom Yu, to Mylon Miller. There's a whole bunch of other ones. I don't mean to leave any of them off. Those are just some that I happen to know.
He was kind of our little secret for years. We're all from Haywood County, North Carolina, in the Western Mountains here, the Smoky Mountains, and Haywood County's got 4 towns in it. Well, 2 towns and 2 communities, kindly, but Milan is also from Haywood County. He and Buddy were playing music, you know, almost from high school on. They've been great friends. And we, you know, Buddy and Milan were in a band, a kind of a country slash rockabilly band back in the day. And some of these songs have come from that era.
I didn't know that.
There's some on this record. The Rooster Rock.
Yeah.
It was written by the bass player of that band, a guy by the name of Mark W. Winchester, who's a phenomenal, one of those slap rockabilly bass players.
Yeah, that's a cute, that's a neat song. That's got kind of a swing, kind of a honky tonk.
Just about swung it off the edge. Man.
Yeah.
But Mark has played bass over the years with like Brian Setzer and Emmylou Harris. And
Well, that would make sense.
Anyway, buddies, we've been, you know, we do this a lot of times. There's songs on this record that we listened to two or three records ago. And you know, thought at some point or the other, well, it just don't really, you know, fit or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, yeah, let's do this, you know. Trains I Miss was one of those 10 years ago.
Okay.
We listened to it for an album or so and never did get it out there, and then all of a sudden it fell into place, you know.
There's so many great – I'm talking to Tim Sturt. If you're just tuning in, you should have tuned in earlier. You already missed Highway Side.
Where you been?
Highway Side is – you guys pick so many great songs for different reasons, for content and or for just how they mix with the band sound. Highway Side, I think – and I read too much into these things all the time, Tim, but there's a line or a theme throughout there that basically I'm just like this guy, this guy's just like me. When you go through all the lyrics, it's – you know, we're all just walking on the same road.
Whether the guy he runs across is down on his luck or rich as can be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I tell you, that theme comes up again, and I know you guys pick these things, but the richest man, I mean, holy cow, that's the, you know, there's your piece of marble. That's the sixth cut on the album, and that's a nice, another one. I love all these tunes. It's another one of my favorites, but it has to do with, you know, in the end, we're all the same.
You know, I've heard, I come from a full career in gospel music before we ever started this band.
Oh, I know.
27 years that I've traveled full-time playing gospel music, and I've heard multiple preachers over the years say, you know what, it doesn't matter how big your house is, our graves are all 3x6.
That's
we're going
right.
Out the, yeah, we're going, I was in the middle, well, this is a weird story. But,
that's okay.
Years ago, I had this one family member, an old uncle that was just materialistic, and even though we were all, you know, poor people in the mountains here, but he would argue with his own family over 3 feet on a survey or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember my mom asking him, she said, Bill, how are you going to drag that mountain behind that casket?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's a good lesson to learn. You know, we're going out the same way we came in. So, two things that really count.
Speaking of that, and Tim, I know you well from a couple different angles.
Sure.
And I know that's part of your philosophy, and I know that we're just having weird times everywhere weather-wise, and we're all kind of peeking our heads out from underneath whatever COVID is popping around, but I haven't talked to you in so long. I just don't know what's going on with you down there, down home, other than the fact that you're making a great record with Balsam Range.
Well, you know, everybody, we've had we've taken the hit just like everybody else as far as COVID goes, and you know, it was weird. Other than the studio, we didn't see each other, the band I'm talking about, for a better part of a year.
Yeah.
You know, we'd get together every 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever in the studio. Hey, how you guys doing? Everybody all right? You know? What's going on? And I see Mark a lot because he and I are in the same daytime kind of business stuff that we do. But for the most part, you know, it was that way. And it's, you know, we've all been touched by it in some way. Family members that have had it. Talking about the virus last year.
Yeah.
My son got it from a kid he plays with next door whose brother came home from college at Thanksgiving. And he didn't know he had it and brought it home. Mm-hmm. All the kids playing in the neighborhood got it. But, you know, it's just it's taken people that we all know, but all of our family members have kind of come through in a good way. You know, just so much going on. And then we'll talk about this later when we talk about another song.
But, yeah, sure.
A month ago, it's the 17th of August, we had devastating flooding here in our hometown of Canton, North Carolina, which, if anybody knows our band, that's Paper Town.
Yeah.
And because of the big paper mill here that everything's centered around.
Yeah.
And just I'm right around 600 homes either severely damaged or lost completely, including my youngest sister and her family. They lost their home.
Oh my!
In the flooding, and it's
that's devastating. That's devastating.
It's very, very bad. And one of my coworkers, I work for the local government here, you know, and one of my coworkers' father was killed in the flood.
Oh, you know, no.
It triggered a massive landslide that killed him. It's just, it's been devastating over the last month. People are really digging out and trying to go on, and, you know, all that goes on with that. And, in fact, we're, I don't know when this is going to air, but we're doing a major concert benefit thing in our hometown on the 2nd of October. And we usually play once a year in our hometown, and it's on Labor Day. They always have a big blowout here in our little hometown, and it's usually summed up by Balsam Range in the park, and we usually have between 10,000 and 15,000 people, you know. Even though there's only 4,500 people in the whole town, I don't know where they go.
Well, you know.
But Labor Day was canceled due to the flood, so along with the mayor, who is a great friend of ours, I said, let's, when everything kind of, you know, settles down and all that kind of thing, and let's put something big on. So we're going to do that a week from Saturday night, with in conjunction with United Way and some other charities, and hopefully raise some massive money for flood relief. So that's been the biggest thing other than COVID that's happened. So it really puts us in a place where the one gift that we can offer to our area is the music, and we're going to blow it out and raise some, hopefully some large sums of money to help people. You know, it's past the point where, you know, at first it was all about people need, we need, you know, tons of bottles of water and food. These people have nothing, you know.
Oh, geez.
And but it's past that point now. That stuff came in from all over the country. It was amazing, the support. But now it's, you know what, there are people still living in hotels and wherever they can, and places with no electricity. And I mean, not only did, I'm not talking the power's out, I'm talking the flooding was so catastrophic it ripped the power poles out for miles and miles, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I'm sorry to
hear
that.
That's been the focus of everything.
I ask how you've been, and I think that's a fair answer to what we're talking about.
And you know, I mean, I will say this, and I think all of our guys, we've talked about it at length while back out on the road, that the time off had some good points. It wasn't all just, you know, despondency. It was, you know, I had some wonderful quality uninterrupted time with my family in my house. It was amazing, you know. We settled into a family-like routine. Oh, well, we cooked this breakfast on Saturday morning. We cooked this morning, and then, you know, on Sunday morning, and then we watched church. And,
yeah.
You know, the hardest part is trying to go back to church in your pajamas. They frown on that. You know? So, anyway,
well,
there are some good points to it. I didn't miss a game.
Yeah.
I have a 13-year-old son, and he and I played ball till, you know, I gave out, which, you know, ain't all that long. But
I think
said the same thing.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is true, that we all kind of packed it in and pulled back, and then you wind up spending more time with your family, and your routine changes, and maybe those things that were part of your routine aren't something that you necessarily miss. I mean, in other words, there were things you were doing that weren't as valuable as just staying home, and when you can't go anywhere, you kind of have to do that, and you get used to it.
Well, also, you know, we've been hitting it hard for 13 straight years, pretty hard as a band, and we've always prided ourselves on the fact, and this is a weird thing to say, that we're not a full-time musical, you know, business. I mean, we play a ton. We play, you know, I guess we probably play 60 shows a year in a normal year, but we all do. We all have other jobs and businesses and things, and we've done it that way from the beginning. And it, after 13 years of just hitting it that hard all the time, being gone every weekend, I mean every weekend, when we did finally get to come back and start playing again, where everybody was, it was all laughing and joking and, hey, man, this is going to be a blast. And it was. And it cured the the burnout factor.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That's the way to look at it. Tim, I'm talking to Tim Sirt of Balsam Range. Before I go any further, we've talked about the band, but I want to make sure that everybody knows who still makes the band up. And it's a real, real
it's
solid lineup.
It's the same five guys for going on. January will make 15 years.
There you go. Okay. I just
we're all local to this county where we live.
Yeah.
It's Mark Pruitt on the banjo. What a story he is.
Yeah. He's okay.
Mark's doing well.
Good.
I think Mark, for you folks that don't know, our banjo player, we were doing one of our first comeback shows in, it was in July, the end of July. We were playing out in California, one of those big amphitheater type stages, concrete Hollywood Bowl looking stage with two or three levels. And right before our sound check that afternoon, plus it was between Palm Springs and Los Angeles, so it was like 108 degrees.
Yeah, really hot. Yeah.
And we were out there setting up and everything, and Mark tripped up somehow and fell and broke his left wrist and his left leg where the bone comes into the kneecap, I guess you might say. And we knew he was severely hurt, but we didn't know anything was broken or anything. He put ice on that wrist for, a couple hours and played the show.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And he played the show. We did, and it was a great show, about 3,500 people and outside of Los Angeles, they were like they'd never heard live music in their life, and they certainly never heard of a powerful bluegrass band. So it was a great show, but we got home the next day, flew into Asheville, North Carolina, and his wife picked him up and took him straight to the hospital, and it was broken, man. And he had surgery, a bunch of screws and bolts and whatnot. And, he's doing really well.
Good.
And he's planning on playing a couple songs with us next Saturday night at the big show.
Okay, there's Mark and fill out the rest.
Buddy Mountain's still singing all those songs for us, playing fiddle. Caleb Smith on guitar, singing lead on a ton of stuff. Oh, crazy Darren Nicholson still playing the mandolin. Darren's doing great. You won't recognize him when you see him.
Really?
He's lost probably 100 pounds, I guess.
No kidding.
And he's always been a giant.
He's a big guy. He's just a big
dude,
broad
yeah,
guy.
Probably,
yeah.
You know, I don't know how tall he is, but
big,
great big dude. And he's lost 100 pounds and shaved his head. He looks great. It's fun. A guy at a show the other day said that, man, that's not the same mandolin player. And I said, yeah, I'm afraid it is. But and then who else is there? Oh, me, I guess.
You. Yeah,
playing
you.
Bass
and dobro and singing and doing all the stuff that you do in the studio.
Yeah, and same guys. It's a wonderful thing. I don't know, since, Blue Highway held the distinction of having the same band for so long. But I guess we're in that spot now, and that's a cool thing. That's really a cool thing.
And,
still playing music almost 15 years into it.
Yeah.
And still, making records and doing the same things that got us where we are as far as, playing music that people like.
And Tim, from what I remember, the origin of Balsam Range is that you were all local. I don't remember, maybe I have this wrong, but you weren't really saying, let's get a band and go on the road.
Not at all,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, we, the way it kind of got started, Buddy Melton did a solo record. And I didn't really know Buddy at all. But Mark Pruitt, who I've known since I was a baby, because Mark, when he was 15, played in a band with my dad. Mark was working with Buddy some. Buddy, we all knew he was a phenomenal singer. But Mark asked me if I could help get a session band together to do Buddy's solo album. And boy, did we. And it was one of the best sessions I ever was on. It ended up being me and Mark and Adam Steffi and Tony Rice.
And nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. You go back and look at that record up. It's crazy.
Hmm.
He did that record, and a few months later, Darren did one, and I met Darren at a one of these local high school football games, one of the few I'd ever been to since been on the road all my life. And he stopped me. He said, "Mr. Surrett," and I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I'm about to do a record. I'd love for you to play bass on it." And we swapped numbers. And Mark and I ended up on both those records, and couldn't believe we all lived in Canton. Buddy lives in Waynesville, the next little town over. And we were like, let's get all that bunch together. Well, who can we get to play guitar? And all of us kind of peripherally knew Caleb from different things. Caleb was in a bluegrass gospel band, while we were all out doing our other stuff. And, everybody kind of knew Caleb from different angles. And we got together at Darren's house in December of 06, right before Christmas. and just let's jam a little. And I hadn't been anything like that in years. And we fell in on it and like, oh man, that's. And we decided, let's get together after Christmas and we'll do it again, see if it still sounds pretty good. And we did, and it did. And Mark Pruitt said, you know, I got called for a show over here in Asheville. You guys want to just make up a name and go play it? They don't care who I bring. And we made up some goofy name and just went and played, you know, the Bluegrass Songbook.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be, you being in radio, you'll be familiar with John Boy and Billy, you know, the comedy morning show team all over the South.
Okay, yeah.
It was their comedy weekend in Asheville. There's like 2,500 people there. And so we were petrified, but it went off really well, and we just started from there. You know, you want to do this? If somebody called about doing this, you guys want to play?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And Mickey Gamble at Mountain Home, who I've been working with since, like I say, the early '80s. I told him we were doing it, and he called us and wanted to talk to us. And before we even had a band name, we had a record deal. You know?
And here you are. Here you are.
There you go.
Years later.
And it just kind of lifted off. We played locally for a long time, and that's why we called it Balsam Range. That's a mountain range around here in the Smokies, and we thought, well, everybody knows what that is, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to use the word mountain.
We didn't know whether to call it the Sport Coat Mountain Boys or
The Balsam Mountain Boys.
Yeah, that range in the Smokies here is actually called the Great Balsam Range, and we always joke around saying, you know, we thought that might be a little presumptuous to call ourselves, you know, the Great Balsam Range. So.
Well, Tim, anyway. I want to talk to you about one other song that I want you to introduce one for us, and we're going to be bouncing around. You know how my mind goes, but
oh, sure.
I'm talking to Tim Surratt about the brand new Moxie and Metal Balsam Range album. Here's something I don't see very often, and I looked at it and I went back and looked. There are a lot of public domain tunes. I don't see very often that the author is unknown. And just
that
unknown.
There's a funny story, and we were laughing about this yesterday.
And then the tune is Tonight I'm Heading South, and so go ahead and tell that story, because I kept thinking,
well,
wait a minute.
We're bad because we like, I'm a music guy first, and I've been a studio musician all my life, and I really love putting together complex arrangements, and I think some of these songs have that. There's a fun aspect of that that I really enjoy, and Buddy's the lyric guy. You know, half the time we record a song and work it out before I even know what it says, you know. and we go that route. But on this one, we were like, we've got all these things. We've got all these deep thinking, you know, lyrical things like Traveling Blues and That's Enough that Caleb does. And even the fast songs. But we started thinking, we need a hammer to get right over the head bluegrass thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, and Darren's so good at that stuff. And, we started, you know, listening to demos and thinking about older songs and whatnot. And Darren had this CD. He said, let's listen to this song. We'll see if y'all like it. I like it pretty well. And it was that song, a rough demo. The hilarious part is the CD had no name on it, no, you know, contact information. And here's how Darren found it. He was going somewhere in his own personal vehicle and, you know, probably wasn't paying attention well. Slammed on his brakes, and that CD came sliding out from under the driver's seat. And he put it in and thought, hey, that's a good song, man.
It is a good song.
So we wanted to do it, talk to the record label, and, you know, even attorneys that, you know, get involved in these things.
It's daggone lawyers.
We don't know who did this. Yeah. So what we do, we put unknown, and then hopefully whoever hears it will come forward and claim it. Made plans and a channel to hold back a section of those royalties that come in from the playing of that song, streaming or, you know, terrestrial radio for whoever, you know, wins the lottery on that one.
It'll be six figures, but the decimal will be.
Yeah, Buddy was laughing yesterday and said it's going to be like relatives hearing that somebody that they know won the lottery. There's going to be a lot of people show up. Oh, yeah, I wrote that song. That's the funny part of that song.
It's a great song. I just think, it's too bad. Yeah, well, you'll find out. You'll find out. I want you to do an introduction for me, Tim, for That's Enough, which is the eighth cut. That's a Tom Utes and Craig. I don't know Craig Market. I know Tom Utes really well.
Yeah, Tom is an old friend of ours, and of course a great songwriter, and I like his music as well. You know,
oh, yeah.
He's got some new stuff out. But Craig Market is a fabulous songwriter, one of our favorites, and he's also a fabulous singer, guitar player, musician. I don't know if we beat the demo, to be honest, but this is a song that is one of those complex, really pretty, intricate arrangement type songs with a lot of room for harmony. And Caleb just has a gift for these kinds of songs. You know, on some of our first records, we got songs from Chris Stapleton, and they would always fall to Caleb because he just had the ability to deliver these things.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing.
Well,
puts me in mind of a Tony Rice type, you know, song for a winter's night or something like
Yeah. All right. Good.
Or that's Shadows good. Or one of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I understand.
But I really enjoy playing and singing, and Caleb just does a great job on it.
Well, why don't we do that then? You've set up That's Enough from the Moxie and Metal album from Balsam Range. We'll listen to that, and then I'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. Listen to That's Enough, and we'll be right back. That was it. That was That's Enough from Moxie and Metal. Tim, nice intro for that. Let's talk about some of the this is something that I think you're always going to find on any Balsam Range album, not this particular song, but there's always going to be a nice gospel tune that's easy to grab a hold of. And His Tomb is Empty Now is that nice waltz kind of a gospel tune.
That's a song that was written by some folks. It comes from my gospel career, life. I actually recorded that song with a group I was playing in, 35 plus years ago. There's a group, a family gospel group in East Tennessee called the Singing Echoes, and they've been singing since, you know, as my daddy would say, Moby Dick was a minnow. You know, they just, one of those family groups that the grandparents started and the kids are still going, you know, 50 years later or whatever. And they wrote some great songs, and that's one of that came out of that family. They were called, their family name is Epperson, and raw-boned and rough family gospel-style stuff, and it was really good. And I just always loved that song. It's powerful, powerful. We couldn't wait. Could not wait for Easter to sing that song, you know. And that's the message of it. And, yes, we've always...
You always do.
Always make a great conscious effort. You know, I struggled in my own mind and heart when we started. Balsam Range is the first secular band I've ever been in my life.
Hmm.
And, you know, I always took it as part of my job is to, if we do get a gospel song, and that's my chance to do that, you know. And not that I preach every night or anything like that, although most of our crowds need some preaching. But no, it's just, you know, when we first started, I was like, how do I justify this? I've never played secular music in my life, once in a while in the studio, but, you know, I figure if we can do that, at some point you got to quit singing to the choir, you know? So, that's my sermon for the...
No, that's a good one, and I have to tell the listeners that Tim and I, our time on the International Bluegrass Music Association board overlapped, and I enjoyed that a lot, but we could always start... We wouldn't always start with a prayer in our board meetings, but we would always start with a Southern preacher story of some kind to kind of call us to order.
Yeah, I've got 10 million of
them. Tim always, when it was time to come to order, that would be the signal that the preaching was going to start, and it would be a little story. Pretty funny.
Yes, every head bowed, every eye closed.
Funny story.
I notice a lot of our board meetings ended with prayer, though, after all that.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned to people that it's rough duty. There's stuff that goes on that's serious, and, you know, they get criticism. But you know how it is, having been on the inside. There's people who really struggle and want to do the right thing all the time. And this is my plug for IBMA.
I think everybody, as far as I can tell, goes at it with that in mind and wanting to further and promote the music that we all love so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on it. I'll tell you who got me on it, and I give her a grief about it to this day, was Cindy Balcom. And she said, I'm nominating you for the IBMA board. Will you do it? I was like, I don't even have a clue. I mean, I can't balance my own checkbook. What am I supposed to do, you know?
And here you were, the boss.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a long story, which some of it I still don't understand. You know,
you didn't
it was very church-like, if you'll remember.
Yes.
Were you there when all that happened?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to name names or go
into
it. It was very church-like. It kind of had split into factions almost.
That's right.
We had different denominations.
We had different denominations.
Both, yeah, we did. Yeah, we had those that voted yes on the new hymn books, and the other side wanted to sing the off the wall. You know, but what the weird part of it was that both sides were reaching out to me, saying, "Will you do this if we promote you or nominate you for this position?" And
yeah.
blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I started. Really wondering because both sides of it, I think, are they just figure I'm the easiest one to manipulate.
Well,
so yeah, after a while, I ended up being the chairman of that thing, and I enjoyed it. You know, there are hard times because it's like every other cross section of life. Now you have the one side wanting to do these things and the other side wanting to do. It's almost progressive versus traditional or whatever.
There's that part of it. There's that part of it, yeah.
And that's the fun thing with our band. People say, what kind of band are you? And I say, we're a progressive traditional bluegrass.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. I think your sound, I think Balsam Range would appeal to anyone because...
Well, we take pride in that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. There is a tune on here, and I'm going to bounce around a little, I want to have you introduce one last tune that's last cut on the album before we leave, but... This Franklin County, there's just never a song where the guy from the government comes out well in those situations.
No, it's
they just don't. But
you know,
they must have done
it
enough.
I think there's some sort of it's got to be some kind of bluegrass union thing where your album has to have either a coal mining or a murder ballad or moonshining.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
there has to be. At least one of those, or it's not a bluegrass record.
That's right.
You know? And then a gospel riff, a song.
Yeah.
Sum it all up. Everybody gets saved and goes to heaven in the end. But
Curse of the Mountain. The Curse of the Mountain. That guy never made
it. But this one was sent to us by Ashley Caudill. She's a fine musician, kind of an old-time banjo player and great songwriter. And Caleb just loved this song and brought it. It's so dark. It's almost Hatfield McCoy's... And I don't mean ignorant backwards.
No,
I mean
it's dark.
That dark side
it's
of
dark.
That mountain, you know, it's super dark.
Yeah.
I mean, and we thought, oh, Lord, you know. But we really, once we embraced it, it was, you know, off to the races with it.
There's no inkling of Dukes of Hazzard lightness in this one. This is
oh,
not
no,
a good thing for
no
the guy from Boston. No.
it's pretty dark.
It's real dark.
And we've never played it live. We've not played it live yet or anything. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens when we do. But yeah, Caleb, he just loved this song, and we dove in on it. I've got a metal body dobro, an old like the old national style.
With a square neck.
Yeah, it's a long. You know Brian England? He's from up in your area.
No, I don't.
Brian England is a for years he did all the intricate inlay work for Martin and Gibson and all these companies.
Okay.
And he built some of these things. He came up with some of these old bodies, metal bodies. And the man that built my dobro is a guy named Frank Harlow.
Oh yeah, I know Frank. He's up in Ohio.
Yeah, Vandalia, yeah. Just outside of Dayton.
That's right.
He and Brian are great friends, and he said, "Well, yeah, man, let's build him one, but hey, it's gonna say Harlow on it now." But Frank put the square walnut neck in a metal body. It's the darndest thing.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And then years ago, I put a pickup in that thing. Because some places, you know, with the Kingsmen back in those days, the gospel group I was with, I mean, you're playing in these gospel groups, especially like Alabama and some places, you're playing in stadiums.
Yeah.
It's huge. And a microphone on an instrument like that's just not an option. And I put a pickup on that thing. Well, this particular song, Caleb said, "I know it's crazy, but we make albums and then go try to figure out how to pull it off live." You know what I mean? We're making an album. We try our best to make it an experience for whoever's listening. And Caleb said, "I hear something fuzzy and mean sounding on this song. You know, some kind of slide thing." And I had that metal thing and ran it through all kinds of crazy effects and stuff, and we just tried to make it sound like barbed wire.
it's pretty much what it's very growling. It's a very growly sound.
Oh yeah, it's a mean sound.
I like that tune. The
there's a real up-tempo right before you get to the last one. Santa Barbara is one of the most up-tempo cuts on the album, I think. So, and that's just a nice, it's a nice way to get close to even ending an album plus a show. But Santa Barbara is just one of those great tunes where everybody kind of digs in, Mark show off
a little
bit.
Let Mark do Mark things, And that's been, I won't say a surprise at how well that thing is done.
No, that's a good one.
But it's but even live, people just love this thing, you know. And it was number one for like seven or eight weeks in a row or something crazy. And we, it's one of those things where we didn't even put an intro on it. Just Buddy starts singing.
Yeah. You know? So. We've talked about Bad Weather and Water. The second cut is River Rains and Runaway Trains. I don't think that's on there just for that, but I mean it's the second cut we haven't touched on. It's just being a force of nature that you're dealing with those type of things and recognizing that. That song is
that's just another one of those Marlon Miller type deals.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
And we enjoy playing that thing live too, and singing it. It's just a great story in a song, and Caleb again delivers it so. Everybody gets a chance to, you know, a lot of times in bluegrass, everybody just gets their section and they just go nuts for, you know, 16 bars or whatever it is. But, you know, we really worked out a theme musically on that tune, and it's fun to play in the middle of the show because it does have that band lick thing going on that ties it all together. And you don't get that a ton in bluegrass.
No. We've hit on most of the songs, and I appreciate your time. I want you to drop down to 12. There's a couple that we haven't hit on specifically, but the whole album is great, and I think they got the feel of it. But the title of the album, Moxie and Metal, comes from the lyric in the very last cut, number 12, Grit and Grace, which I think is a great way to end the album anyway. But let's talk about that. I want you to intro it. I'll play that song, and then I'll let you get back to your life.
Oh, no, that's enjoyable to talk about it, but... Grit and Grace is a great story in and of itself because Buddy's mother, Ann Melton is her name. She's a retired educator here in Haywood County, and she's kind of a renaissance lady. She paints and does all these things. She writes books. She has numerous books published. She went to hear a man speak at their church. I can't remember the man's name. Forgive me, Buddy always talks about it. Walter Camp, I believe is his name. And she went to hear him. He had written his life story, and he was a World War II veteran that had been, he walked the Bataan Death March.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And we all know, I'm a student of World War II history. Yes. I'm a good student of history, but that particular chapter of World War II is particularly
gruesome.
Horrible. Yep. Horrible. And he had a hard time. He's an old fellow, obviously, and kind of had to relive it to write it. And she finally, at the end of the book thing that she had went to that he was at, she finally just walked up and asked him, she said, how do you survive something like that? How do you live with it all these years? And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I supply the grit and God supplies the grace. And that's how we get through this stuff.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
And she carried that thought around in her mind, and she thought about trying to make some kind of song out of it and started a little bit and got Mylon Miller and Beth Husband. Fabulous, great songwriters, obviously, to take it and run with it. And this song has been special to all of us, especially we put it out right in the middle of the pandemic for a reason, you know.
Okay.
We all have to supply a little grit and let God supply the grace, and we're all going to make it, you know.
Yeah.
And our town, since this flooding I've been talking about, has the mayor, every time he was on Fox News, CNN, it was that bad of flooding. And he's like, our band here, Balsam Rains, have a song called Grit and Grace, and that's our theme song. We're going to supply the grit. God's going to supply the grace.
That's a lyric.
We're all going through it.
That's a lyric,
together. And that's even all the artwork that's been for this big concert that we're putting on. They're just calling it Grit and Grace.
It's a powerful song. I mean, and
it is.
And I love the message in it, and... Of course, you guys always sound so great. Balsam Range, every album you just have new things, but it always sounds, well, like you said, maybe it's the arrangements. I don't know. I think you have a good band. I think you have a really good band. You have good components to it, but you also have a very distinctive and good sound on these things. You have enough. Well, you have enough divergence right. within the band to switch around vocals. I keep cutting you off, but I want to say this: that you guys can switch around things, and you do it when everyone together. You trade off lead vocals for different people, and you just never miss a beat.
Well, we've always tried, and I appreciate you saying that and knowing that. I was on a show. It was an all-star show, they called it. It was me and Brian Sutton and Dole Lawson and Sammy Sheeler and Jimmy Van Cleve. and we rehearsed all day and then played the show that night. And we were sitting around eating, and Brian, you know, he's a pretty deep thinker as well. He's from up here as well, you know. And he asked Dole, he said, Dole, how come? He said, I've always wanted to ask you this. You've had 1,000 people go through your band, yeah, and you always – You don't adapt to them. You make them adapt to you. And Dole said, well, he said, I've tried to establish a sound, and if a song starts on the radio and they don't know it's you, then they don't know it's you.
That's a great statement. That's a great statement, because Doyle just always
As musicians, we've always thought, why does Dole make him do that? Because I know what this guy does or can do.
Yeah.
But Dole always hired people and had them do what fit that sound.
Yeah.
Balsam Range is not that dogmatic about it, but we do have the same five guys, which is going to put that familiarity in it.
And, yeah, it's great.
And we seek the same kind of arrangements and songs and that are interesting to us. You know what I mean? We're very blessed in the fact that I don't think we absolutely know what a multitude of people likes. We just make records that appeal to us and songs that move us. And thanks be to God, people seem to like it.
if you don't like it from the get go, how could you think anybody else would like your performance of it?
Yeah, well, if you're not, it's got to be a contagious.
Got to be, yeah, absolutely, man. This has been, I see Tim all the time, except when nobody sees anybody, and I haven't seen him in forever. And I was so glad to get this album. I thought I'm going to call Tim. We're going to catch up on some things. I'm going to talk about this Moxie and Metal album from Balsam Range, and I appreciate your time, man. I miss you. I'll see you out there somewhere on the road. As soon as we all get freed up, and but I'm going to use your intro into that beautiful tune Grit and Grace, the last cut on the album, and I'll let you go, brother. Please keep in touch. Let me know what you're doing.
Absolutely, man. Call anytime. You know where to find me.
I do. Are you still doing radio?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's another thing, and I don't, you know, if I'm talking to you or Kyle or somebody, I don't usually mention it. But
yeah, go ahead.
Not for radio broadcast, but I'm just... I started this little thing. There's a little radio station in my hometown that's been here since 1963. It's a station. When I was a little kid, I was born in 63. And, you know, my school years, elementary school, my mom would get up in the morning, turn the stove on, turn the radio, you know?
Yep.
Because that was your Google back then. That's how you knew what the weather was, if it was a snow day.
That's right.
You know, whatever right. it was, you got all your information from that little radio station.
That's right.
And it's still there, and it looks exact the same. I'd love for you to come through here sometime and see it.
I would love to see it. And I've seen you on Facebook where you open it up, and I think that's a radio station. You just know that's a radio station.
Yeah, it hasn't changed. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, one of my buddies said you ought to call it Picking in the Paneling because of that old wood paneling that's been there. You know? But it was about last August, I think, and I was missing the interaction of traveling and playing music.
Yeah, with the people, the friends.
And I'd kind of reconnected with those radio folks through one of those shows like I was talking about that we do here locally every year on Labor Day.
Yeah.
And my friend Terrell, girl I went to school with, her daddy owned that radio station since 78.
Wow.
And somehow on the stage I was, you know, talking about what it was like to grow up in this town, how wonderful it was, and got up listening to WPTL every morning and named off two of the DJs and blah, blah, blah. Well, it just tore that old man up. And he had his daughter call me and got to talk to him a little. And I don't know if he's going to live now. He's got COVID right now.
Oh, shoot.
Anyway, okay. But we'd kind of reconnected. And that last August, I got home from work one day and I thought, what can I do? And I thought, you could go to WPTL and play records.
Yeah.
And I called Terrell and I said, I think I want to do a radio show. She said, well, two questions, what kind and when do you want to start? I said, well, I don't really know about what kind. I'm just going to play music that I like. And she said, when do you want to start? You want to start, you know, like this week? And I was like, well, no, give me a, you know, give me a week to kind of get my thoughts together and whatever. And we went on about a week and a half later. And just for the absolute sheer fun of it and see who would listen. And
it's fun.
It's been so well received. We just kept going.
I think you should do it. I'll tell you my quick story about radio station inside the in that part of it, not so much this type of radio, but from broadcast perspective, I did a bluegrass. I did a jazz show for about 6 years in Cincinnati, and
we joke about doing that.
Well,
the programmer here on this little podunk country station is a jazz guy like I am. You know,
this was my instruction from the station manager, and we had the full. I mean, it was a real radio station, real broadcast station. I liked it. It was cool. I didn't know what anything was, but this was my instruction: keep pushing buttons until you hear something. Now, that's always been my rule, and it kind of worked. It kind of worked.
Well, you know, I went down there, and she said, well, you need to figure out, you know, the board and all this stuff, and I thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
Well, I went down there, and what I would do on the weekends, I'd go down there, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, and the guys are sitting there doing the Saturday morning flea market and the Sunday morning preachers, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little AM station.
Yeah.
And I immediately realized, there's no way I can do all this. You know what I mean? And I laughed thinking about the DJs of those era that you and I grew up listening to. They've got turntables.
Turntables and carts that they had to pull and load
all
up.
All that stuff.
Yep.
One of my buddies, David Johnson, the great studio, was talking about how he watched the guy do it, thinking he was going to do it. And he said that guy had a half a smoke going and one eye shut for the smoke and had all of his copy tape to the window in front of him and 15 records going and blah, blah, blah.
It's a rhythm. Well, you get into a rhythm.
Well, I immediately saw that I cannot do what I wanted to do and worry about that stuff. So I got my nephew, who is, you know, 17-year-old techno whiz. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've seen him. That's the guy.
Funny, nerdy kid, and he's funny anyway. So I said, you want to do this with me? And it was just a great mixture for me and him both.
Yeah.
And because he don't know what he wants to do. He, you know, he wants to do music or whatever. And I thought this gives him some real direction, because the next thing you know, he had learned all this stuff. It was easy to him. And they had him being the bass guy for all the sports and stuff. We broadcast. In fact, I'll go into Tennessee tomorrow night to broadcast high school football.
No kidding.
I started doing the sportscast.
You're on your way, bud.
Well, it's fun to me because it was a big joke in the band. We'd be riding down the road, and the baseball game would be on the TV, and they'd turn the sound down and say, Tim, call it for us. Well, I'd say, you know, tomorrow night is Steve Martin bobblehead night at the ballpark, you know, just total Bob Bucher ripoff thing. So now I do, I'm going to do a big football game tomorrow night. I did baseball all season, and it's fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing it. I'm glad you're having fun doing it.
I don't know how much I'm going to keep doing now that the band's cranked back.
Well, yeah, but so you got
when that wasn't going on.
You can come back and do it, you know, if things slow down again, you can find your way back into the broadcast.
Well, I do it. They're wanting me to do them all, and I agreed to do about five of the football games because, you know, football's just religion here, and high school football is. And people from neighboring towns say, we wish, you know, our town supported the team like your town does. And I'm like, well, we got nothing else. You know, we got nothing. You know, we got nothing.
I'll find you somewhere, and I'll make sure that I track you down and shake
your hand.
All right,
bud. Are you going to Raleigh this year?
I can't. I got too much going on.
Well, you know what we're doing? We're going down, play the award show, turn around, come back home.
Yeah, I just can't get away. I got too much. The courts are opening up, so it makes me busier than I've been in a while.
Oh, yeah, you got to go back and do that.
Got to wear a tie and go to court now. So. Right.
Well, you know, I don't have to do that too much anymore. You know, there was a while that my job was child protective services.
I remember. We talked about that once.
Yeah, I was in court once a month, and I went back to my original government job, which is I'm the environmental regulator for the county here.
Yeah.
You know, grading and garden the river and all that stuff. So I don't get. Hopefully, I try to keep myself out of court on those deals.
Yeah, I'm getting to feel that way too. So, you know, we'll see.
All right, bud.
All right,
I appreciate
listen.
You having me on.
I do appreciate it. I always enjoy talking to you. So I'll let you go, and I'll spin for the listeners as we use that radio talk. I'll spin Grit and Grace, and then they'll enjoy that song a lot.
I'll watch for you to put it out there on Facebook and I'll spread the word.
I will do it. Thanks, Tim. Have a good one.
All right, bud. See you.
Bye.